Good afternoon, Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Cunnan and Megan Turnquist. The fat and feeder cattle markets have been locked limit higher since the market opened this morning. Commodity Risk Management Group market analyst Matt Trainel says demand is driving the move higher.
Packers are bidding, and I've heard that some of the cash markets are trading close to $1.18, and the box beef is pretty hot right now. I guess I'm a little bit hesitant to say that we are going to sustain it just yet, just for the fact that the coronavirus does seem like it's quite a ways from being wrapped up.
Trainel is also looking for the stock market to stabilize.
It really hasn't shown any type of meaningful, long-lasting rally just yet. So a lot of times the cattle market runs pretty closely with the stock market, and if we haven't made a bottom in the stock market, then you could still see some weakness should that falter even further. Should the stock market start moving back higher, then you got a little bit better chance that stock starts sustaining itself. But I'm not quite in the camp just yet that we're completely out of the woods just yet. Maybe we are, but time will tell.
Futures prices for beef and pork were lower last week, but cutout values for both products were higher. Despite the differences, Livestock Marketing Information Center economist Caitlin McCulloch says hog and cattle slaughter volumes remained high.
So last week, cattle slaughter was estimated at 653,000 head, which is 3.7% above last week. And hog slaughter was estimated at 2.8 million, about 5.4% above last week, and 11.5% above a year earlier. The box beef cutout climbed tremendously. It was over $35 a hundredweight higher than the prior week. And the pork cutout jumped about $7.50 per hundredweight. The number of loads increased tremendously. It's one of the largest week-over-week jumps that we've seen since 2016.
McCulloch says those numbers point to strong consumer demand, though grocery store sales. Market are trying to look at the long-term picture.
Beef, pork, and chicken over the last year and a half have dramatically increased production to meet protein demands related to African swine fever. And so we were really ramping up demand, and then we hit this COVID-19 issue, and all of that is sort of up in the air. And so as we look forward, the questions are we going to see very much export demand for those countries that were hit by ASF? Is it going to be the same as we were expecting before? And we still don't know if even the countries that seem like the spread has stopped, whether they're going to see a resurgence.
Allendale chief strategist Rich Nelson says the ebb and flow of trader optimism continues, with livestock traders feeling that optimism today.
You know, certainly on the cattle side, I think that was our big question mark for us. On the hog end of things here, keep in mind we do have a seasonal support issue here. Lower supplies in the weeks ahead going into summer, that's positive here. And also, we still expect and hope to see further Chinese purchases.
Nelson thinks corn traders are also waiting for Wednesday's supply numbers from the Energy Information Administration.
Waiting on the weekly crude stock numbers and whatnot here lined up here for tomorrow morning. That will give us an idea about this potential impact on unleaded gas and therefore ethanol for corn.
According to NDSU Extension Bioenergy and Bioproducts Economics Specialist David Ripplinger, ethanol prices are still holding up somewhat in the Northern Plains.
Prices in the region, the spot prices here in the Dakotas and Minnesota have been higher than this, to a point where firms might still be breaking even or were breaking even last week. And so that's good news. And of course, the question is, how are these things going to catch up and to what level of severity?
In the second quarter of 2020, Ripplinger expects a significant reduction of fuel use and exports. He says a loss of ethanol plants could make an impact on local corn demand.
If what we have right now lasts for 4 months, and I actually did increase these numbers in my expectations from Friday quite a bit, if it lasts for 4 months and there's about a 20% decline in gasoline use, and consequently a 20% decline in U.S. corn ethanol consumption, you know, that equates to about 2 million acres lost for the year. And again, would that come off of old crop or new crop? That's what's going to play into the longer scenarios.
Phase one implementation of the trade agreement between the U.S. and China is pressing forward. The most recent actions include growth for U.S. meat products. Both countries have agreed to allow U.S. poultry exports from unaffected regions in the case of a disease outbreak. For the first time since 2003, U.S. beef producers will have access to the Chinese market for nearly all beef products. China has notified the U.S. of proposed maximum residue levels for three commonly used hormones in U.S. beef production. Also, U.S. pork producers will have expanded access for pork products shipped to China. China's tariff exclusion process is in effect, and many importers are receiving tariff relief for U.S. food and ag products.
There are several benefits, with nearly all U.S. beef products being allowed to China. U.S. Meat Export Federation Senior Vice President for the Asia Pacific, Joel Haggard, explains.
All beef and beef products, including processed beef items from cattle of all ages, will be eligible to ship to China. So China's managed, even during this great health crisis, to follow through with its Phase 1 trade deal obligations. The U.S. has faced a flurry of challenges for its beef exports to China since the 2017 late spring market reopening. Import conditions were strict, and U.S. products faced high duties, 47% at one point compared to mid-single digits for our main competitor, Australia. But another tailwind which should help to propel interest in China is that importers in mid-February were afforded an opportunity by China's Tariff Commission to apply for duty exclusions.
The Food and Drug Administration is encouraging veterinarians to use telemedicine during the coronavirus outbreak. The agency says it will temporarily suspend enforcement of the veterinarian-client-patient relationship requirements. Without the requirements, vets can prescribe drugs in an extra-label manner or authorize the use of veterinary feed directive drugs without direct examination. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Yesterday, the Senate confirmed the nominee for Undersecretary of Agriculture for Food Safety at the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Mindy Brashears. In a statement, Senate Agriculture Committee Chair Pat Roberts says he's confident Brashears is a capable leader. Brashears has been waiting since 2018 for the nomination to be confirmed by the Senate.
The enrollment for the 2019 ArcEnd PLC crop year ended earlier this month, but farmers can enroll for the 2020 crop year through the end of June. Farm Service Agency Administrator Richard Fordyce says 2020 enrollment is making progress.
Nearly 750,000 contracts have been signed under the 2020 program, so 45% of that is completed. Farmers will just simply have to say they want to participate in the program, because the election that they made in 19 will be the same in 20. They will have the opportunity in 21, 22, and 23 to change those elections if they see fit.
USDA says a pilot study in Illinois could lead to improvements in how USDA collects estimates of planted crop acres. National Agricultural Statistics Service's Linda Young says the desire to improve statistics using new technology is driving the study.
Mulch sensing and other things to maybe get good estimates sooner, maybe earlier in the growing season, maybe more responsive to these types of events. Instead of starting with surveys, let's start with remote sensing, administrative data, weather data, and then assess where we need survey data to correct for the biases that are always present in these other data.
Young says the goal is to provide more accurate data in a more timely manner.
We hope to reduce the burden if this works. We'd like to release our estimates on a finer temporal and spatial scale, perhaps make the estimates available more frequently, especially in times of bad weather, and also at a finer spatial scale, say perhaps at the county level. This Illinois pilot study is a proof of concept. All the methods we're using are scalable to the national level. It is a phased approach. We will work on this as resources become available.
Today is National Agriculture Day. During uncertain times, Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue reminds the American people farmers, ranchers, and other producers are feeding and clothing the world.
And during these times, one thing has remained steadfast, and that's America's farmers, ranchers, and producers. Now more than ever, it's important the American people remember that for all the food on those grocery shelves, that some farmer grew it. Today on National Ag Day, I challenge you, the American public, to keep our farmers, ranchers, and producers on their minds for all their work to provide us a safe, healthy, and abundant food supply. We owe them a great debt of gratitude.
Purdue goes on to say America has one of the most safe and abundant food supplies in the world.
We've got our food safety inspection workers on the front line day in and day out to make sure our food's safe, just like we always have. But you're the real heroes in this effort. In World War II, we actually had agricultural deferments because the food supply chain was so important. And that's essentially what you all are doing, from the person that makes the equipment that supplies the farmers, to the seed, the fertilizer, the farmers that go day in and day out to produce this food, and all through the processing and the packaging and the logistics and the stocking of the shelves to greeting and checking out people. You're vital to our economy, and you're vital to our needs of American of having a food supply.
USDA Chief Economist Rob Johansson has appointed Acting Board Chairman Mark Jekinowski as World Egg Outlook Board Chairman. Jekinowski will be responsible for leading the development and release of monthly World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASDE, reports. Jekinowski will also serve as program chairman for USDA's Agricultural Outlook Forum. Jekinowski will assume his new duties March 29th.
Syngenta's soybean seed care product manager Paul Oaklish says sudden death syndrome could be an issue for soybean growers in 2020 following last year's wet fall. He says there are a couple of seed treatment options to protect soybeans from SDS.
For the last few years, there's only been one option on the market with Aleva. So Saltra is a new option that we've brought in for the 2020 planting season that gives you better protection against SDS than Aleva. We see a 4 bushel an acre on average improvement over the top of Olivo, and it does that without any sort of early season stress that you see with Olivo and the halo effect.
This is the Red River Farm Network.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Corn rootworm may be a problem in some areas this spring following last year's late crop and tough planting conditions. AMVAC marketing manager Nathaniel Quinn says especially if farmers went with a less traded corn.
Especially as they saw the weather happening in the later delayed planting and they're rationalizing their spend, they may have gone to single trait, below ground traits. Some have gone to zero below ground traits and keep all the traits above. Well, if that's in areas where there's corn on corn or even sometimes first year corn, that's just another factor that people, even though they may have not seen the pressure historically, they're setting themselves up for an opportunity for corn rootworm to really resurge.
And whether it's wireworm and root maggot in control in sugar beets or rootworm control in corn, Quinn says knowing what a product will do, that a product will do the job is critical.
Although these products have been around for quite some time, they're very unique. There are not products that are like this, and when you have a serious pest spectrum like you do in sugar beets and certainly in your corn on corn, there's only so many solutions you can go to, and you want to go to something that gets consistent control. And I mean, at the end of the day, consistent control is critical.
The South Dakota FFA convention has been postponed. The South Dakota FFA Foundation says a rescheduled date will be determined later this week. The event was scheduled to take place originally April 19th through the 21st.
We'll take a more look at the farm calendar in a minute, but first, taking a look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon. May Minneapolis wheat up 1.5 at 532. May Chicago wheat down 5.75 at 556.5. May Kansas City wheat down 2.75. May corn up 4.75 at 348.25. December corn up 2 at 366.25. May beans up 1.75 at 885.75. November beans up 2 at 874.5. April live cattle up $4.50 at 106.15. April feeder cattle up $6.75 at 130.07. April lean hogs up $1.37 at 65.95. Taking a quick look at that farm calendar, North Dakota Soybean Council's Western Soybean School scheduled for March 31st in Dickinson and April 1st in Bismarck and April 2nd in Minot has been canceled. This is the Red River Farm Network.